And you have to learn how to take the problem of the solution and break it down in a process-dependent way.
Welcome to Your Intended Message, the perfect place for leaders and promising professionals who want to convey the intended message for greater success. Every week, we interview experts who address the challenges and best practices to deliver your message effectively. That might be one-to-one, one-to-few, or one-to-many. And perhaps the most important conversation, one-to-self. I'm your host, George Torok.
My guest today is Jamie Greenberg. Here's three facts that I think you should know about Jamie. After years of running a successful entertainment agency and working with his family to grow and sell a multi-million dollar toy company, Jamie now dramatically increases experts' reach and income by helping them capitalize on their mission and uniqueness with the differentiator that earns them money they are really worth. Wouldn't we like to get money that we're really worth? Yes, we've got to learn more about that. Number two, Jamie is known internationally as the, wait for it, Imaginologist, igniting sparks of imagination and inspiration in others, and then turning that inspiration into business. And three, whether you're an emerging thought leader or a star seven-figure expert, there is always a richer, evolving, and revolutionary place from which you can inspire and serve even more profoundly. Jamie Greenberg, welcome to Your Intended Message.
George, thank you so much for having me on Your Intended Message. I just want to let you know, I was just immediately drawn to the title of your show. It's something that is so important, not only the message, but how you intend to communicate that message. So thank you for coming up with that brilliant name. And I'm really excited about talking about your intended messaging.
My pleasure. Great to be talking with you, Jamie. And so let's delve into how entrepreneurs struggle with their intended message, first finding it and then second delivering it. What are you seeing?
Well, I think from the people that we encounter in our business, which is primarily entrepreneurs who are emerging or looking to scale their business. And the ones who are looking to scale are usually struggling with a couple different things. Messaging being one of them. And the reason why the messaging is a problem is because it's very generic. They haven't taken the time to locate their differentiator. So when we say capitalize on your uniqueness, you know, we're talking about in our business here, taking a deep dive into really understanding what it is about your original design, that one-of-a-kind design that you are, and how to distill it and frame it and then communicate it. Because, George, what happens in this way, we are so close, we cannot look at who we are. We can't mirror who we are unless we have somebody in front of us asking us the right questions to extrapolate what it is that we are and how we are unique. And we have a bunch of exercises that we do in our program, Capitalize on Your Uniqueness, on how to get out of you what is exactly that differentiator, and then how to romance it with a signature knowledge platform from which we then design their offers and their price ladders, their essential lead generators, and your create once, publish everywhere, get video visible, social selling marketing plan, which stands you out as the inspirational face of your business. So that's how we do it.
Jamie, it sounds so simple.
The tendency is to copy what everyone else is doing, which is fine. When you're going out and doing your market research, you want to understand who your avatar is. You want to see people doing business that you're in. Because in order, it's sort of a marriage of understanding your market and understanding who you are. Because you have to differentiate within your market space. So you have to go out and understand what everybody else is doing, what they're selling. But then, as Sting said, when I create my next album, I turn off the radio for 3 months. I don't listen to anything because I want to get more intimate with my own cone. So we encourage people to slip past their ego and go right into their intuition so they get more intimate with their intuition, their inspiration, their inclination, and their aspirations. And that's when the divine downloads start to flow. And what we do, what I encourage them to do, and it's part of, you know, our exercise, is to capture that genius. You have to be alertly vigilant to when those downloads are coming, and you document. Either pull out your phone and do a 15-second video on the concept, on the idea, on the inspiration, on the thing that is pissing you off, because we want to get a full expansion of your emotional palate. We don't want you to be contrived. We don't want you talking about what other people you think want to hear. We want it come from what you're experiencing. So it's authentic and honest. And when the things that you are experiencing are the things that you can actually teach much better, not only does it provide your own personal healing, but when you come from an experience where you've gone through something and had a modicum of success, and then you're imparting it onto somebody else, this is mentorship. And that's where we want people. We want people inside their own cone, in a space where they can hear from their higher self and get guided by that, and then write it down, and then start to cobble together these beginning, middles, and ends. Because, you know, the creative process is random. I call it gorgeous chaos. I don't want you to worry about the how until you give yourself permission to have a creative process. Because that's the problem, George, especially when you're dealing with an intended message. You can't worry about the how and the creative at the same time. It's like having your foot on the brake and the gas at the same time. You have to give yourself permission to have that creative process, to reap from that, gather your beginning, middles, and ends without worrying about the how or how it's all going to fit together. Because these are your gems, your genius gems that you just have to, we call them divine downloads. We have a sheet, and, you know, my clients write them down. I write them down. It's a co-creative process, because when you create that intention into the universe, you're going to start getting stuff. You don't know when it's going to show up. You wake up the next morning, you know, because once you start to work on something, it starts to bake when you're not even putting your attention to it. And then when you show up the next day, you're going to start to hear things. And everything starts to plus itself. And that's the beauty. That's what I love about it. And that's the imaginological process. That's why I call myself an imaginologist, because I love how the creative process takes place and how it organically finds its own logic. And then to do the critical thinking of it and organize it and codify it in something that we can use and sell.
Jamie, the divine downloads, these are, clarify for us, please. These are thoughtful insights we have, or these are crazy ideas, or these are just chaotic thoughts in our mind that may or may not fit together.
This is a great question. And it fits into the title of your show beautifully, because when you create an intention, you know, I really want to be an entrepreneur. I want to be an exit strategist entrepreneur. I'm coming from corporate for, you know, 20, 30 years. I really want to get into consulting and consulting or coaching. There's something burning inside me. I have this passion and I don't know exactly what it is, but my intention is to move out of this miserable space that I'm in, that I'm putting up with, and experience myself in a completely different way and learn the entrepreneurial way of life. We're creating an intention. So we put that out into the universe. You know, we're sort of designing inadvertently. We do this every second of our lives. So when we put it out in the universe, now you're giving the universe something to grab onto. And that big manager in the sky starts to conjure up the things that you're asking for. I know it sounds a little magical. And we've heard the term law of attraction. But the law of attraction is as much of a law as gravity. We don't question gravity. But because, you know, the law of attraction is a little harder to touch, but it's just as real. So those intentions come out, the universe gets it, they start to, it pulls that which is like unto itself is drawn. And things start showing up. Don't they for you? Have you ever had that kind of experience?
True, yes. There are times when an insight comes to me or an idea that, in fact, well, let me give you an example.
Yes.
Before I had this podcast, I hosted a radio show for 19 years. And I remember the moment that I got the idea for the radio show. I was being interviewed as a guest on another radio station. And I remember I arrived early, sat in the studio, and the host was setting up. And I sat there and I looked around the studio, and the little voice in my head said, I could do this. I could do this. I had no experience, no training, but the voice was saying, I could do this. And I did. I hosted a radio show for 19 years.
That's what I'm talking about, because you acted on a premonition, a calling. And this happens to so many of us all the time. But the tendency for many of us is to suppress the expression and not give ourselves to realize that inspiration. So we help people with that. You know, because once you have an idea about how you would like to go about doing it, you know, you might not have entrepreneurial experience. You might not have a way to be online in a way that's necessary for a knowledge-based entrepreneur. So you have to go out and find the specialized knowledge that you need once you get that inspiration.
And Jamie, what I just heard there is so a typical obstacle is when we come up with an idea, if there's something we want to do, there's a goal we have in mind, and we tell someone else, and the first thing that they'll probably say is, how are you going to do that? You've got no experience. And you're saying, what I think I heard you say is, well, that's where you start. So the first place you look is for where to find out how to do that. And it's probably not on YouTube.
Well, it's not a bad place to start. There's a lot of great information on YouTube. But I think you're saying something very important here, because when you express your idea to others, especially people in your family where your living is a critical component to their existence, or your friends who, you know, are sort of in the same space that you are, and you want to step out into this whole new space, and now all of a sudden you're alone. So it takes a lot of fortitude and some soul searching to say, this is what I really want to do. And I'm not going to let anyone else really stop me. I'm trying to explain. I'm going to do it in a very responsible way. I'm going to make a comfortable transition. I'm going to lay out my plan. I'm going to find maybe a coach who can really help me with this and guide me and save me, you know, 5-10 years, you know, down the road. Because that's what the specialized knowledge is. That's what we're talking about, is finding the people who can really help us bring that vision to life and figure out the areas that are holding us back.
Jamie, you ran an entertainment agency, and then you sold a toy company, and you started a new journey for you. Were you going through this similar process when you made that transition? And if so, how did you get past that?
Well, my first inspiration was to want to be an entertainer, which I was for about 22 years. We had a show called Imagine If with Jamie and the Imaginites. And it was a combination of mime, life-size body puppets, new vaudeville, and music, which Allie, my partner, who I work with now and is also my wife, wrote all the music for the show. And we toured that show. You know, we're doing 120 to 150 shows a year for a very long time. And I was also teaching mime and theater and improvisation. I taught a thing called personal theater, which I incorporate a lot now into our Get Video Visible program, because this is sort of a nice little transition to talk about that, because the online marketing is so important in this business of people wanting to become consultants and coaches with an online presence, because we have to celebritize ourselves a little bit. Okay. So I'm able to work with people and make them feel comfortable on camera. We have a beautiful little social selling format called Revelation into a Lesson, where we show you how to compose a post, which is first written, where you come up with a nice grippy headline, and then a story about to support that headline, which is a story about how that experience, that revelation, helped you and where your own healing came from, your own transformation. And then a 3-bullet point mentorship on how it can help the people in the audience. And then we do an ask the audience, like, well, how, do you have any other insights that you can share with me and other people who are listening to this or who are commenting on this? And I'll continue to show you what works for me. And then we put a link to the calendar in either the first comment or in the post. And we have actually helped people start businesses who have even small LinkedIn presences of like 500 or to 5,000 people, where they start to get to practice talking about their unique themes, the pop-out themes from their divine downloads. And we create little micro instructional designs, solution sequential sequences, okay? So they can learn how to teach their inspiration. That's the key, George, because I have found out a lot of these people who are coming from corporate into coaching and consulting do not know how to teach. And you have to learn how to break down your major content themes, which are generally the problems you're solving for your audience, and the solutions that are solving those problems. And you have to learn how to take the problem or the solution and break it down in a process-dependent way. We call them sequential solution steps, usually 4 steps that build on each other, and you break it down. And then you have something you can teach, and they can get your audience to win as soon as possible. And once we have those major themes that are indigenous to who you are and what you want to solve and how you want to influence, we codify them and organize them in a signature system platform, which is our nice little piece of software that we developed. And there's 4 problems and 4 solutions that solve each of one of those 4 problems. And that becomes your online brand mission knowledge-based platform, which is now your intellectual property. It's your own methodology that you own. And now you're going to be selling the value of that exceptional result, and you're not going to be charging by the hour.
Jamie, these former corporate executives, leaders, who have this knowledge, they have this expertise, you pointed out that they don't know how to teach. Do they need to know how to teach because that's how they market themselves, or that's how they deliver?
How they deliver. And look, in this business, in the knowledge-based business, you know, whether you're a speaker, a course creator, an author who's taking his content and wants to turn it into some educational-based products, you have to learn how to impart that information quickly in little snackable bites, or you're going to lose them. That's why these online courses don't sell. Not people don't finish them. I should say they sell. It's just that when people get on there, maybe, you know, 3% of the people go through the whole thing, because a lot of it does not really teach very well. Look, it's the same premise when we were in school. How many good teachers did you really get when you were in school?
Not many.
Not many, but that one or two that you got, you couldn't wait to get to that class.
Mm-hmm.
So we try to get people to that place where they're excited about what they're teaching. There's passion behind it. And, you know, it's emotionalization through personalization. When you're passionate about something and you're always in that state of revelation, there's always the next thing that you're thinking about how to make it more interesting. But then there are just basic concepts and ideas. You have to learn how to break them down. So this step builds on this step and this step, you know, so that's how you get the result over there. I found this to be very creative, the instructional design of having to be able to say, God, I really would love to get, how do I get people there quickly? And then you find out the right exercises, the right things on the call, how to preview it, you know, the homework you have to give. And then, you know, all that stuff, I became very, it's like art to me. Little instructional designs, and then you cobble those together and then you have like your system. And it's just sort of breaking it down. I actually got the idea from looking at a tree. Because I said, the tree's got this trunk. So that's your online brand mission. It never changes. It just keeps growing, getting a little bigger. But then you have all this other creativity, right? That grows down to support what grows up. So you're always investigating new ways to support all the creativity that's coming up. That's sort of how our chart, a little simple software, looks.
Jamie, I hear you emphasizing the creativity, but I wonder, do you find that some entrepreneurs get too caught up in the creativity and neglect the systematic process that they have to have? Because it's one thing to be creative, but...
Another great question, George. That's why we start with the creative process to begin with, the internal investigation of who we are. When I have, we have an exercise called New Thought Pioneering. It's like pioneering your own thought. Like, so when you have an inspiration or like a mind shift, I want to shift people's views on healthcare. So you take that theme, and what we do is we find the problems and solutions for that theme first. We have the client identify all those things. This determines your reason for being. You're out there to solve a problem with solutions, and it's your job to come up with a solution. So you might have the idea, I really want to shift people's mindset on healthcare, but well, what are the solutions and how do I get people to that space? So once we have them write them down, it starts to unfold for them, and the mind starts to work and the creativity starts to work. Then I say, look at those solutions. And sometimes they might come up with 5 or 10. Take 4 of those solutions, just pluck 4 solutions out and try the best you can to create a solution sequential steps. So you have 4 steps that build on each other. Then I say, I just want you to write a 150-word inspirational post about that. Then I want you to take the three most important bullets out of that and do a speak to the bullets video. So now we've done the whole process here. You know, they've thought about that theme, that little theme that's interesting to them. Now we have them break it down into problems and solutions. Then they have just pluck out the solutions and organize them in these sequential solution steps. Then we have them write about it. So now they're expressing it. It's coming out of their pen. It's, you know, they're organizing it. And now it's going to come out of their mouth. And they're going to be working on video. I don't even tell them why at that point we're doing the video, because I'm sneaking it up on them. I'm just using it as a device. But as you know, that 150 words could be a post and the video could be a post. But I don't even talk about it at this stage of the game, because I just want them to get used to lifting the weight of writing and being on video. It's just expression, learning how to express what's come down. Because a lot of times people keep it in their heads and they're not writing it and they're not speaking it. And as a speaker, you know, You know, you got to organize stuff, and then you got to get up and you got to test it and you got to speak it, and you know, it's got to come out of your mouth. And then from those solutions, which we try to get them to do 5 or 10, they pluck out the 4, then they organize that in the sequential solution steps, then they write their 150 word post, and then they pluck out 3 bullets and we do a speak to the bullets video. And this whole process is getting them to express through writing and through video. Because I don't tell them at this time, but these, as you know, George, are the ways we communicate online, whether we're writing a blog post or whether we're going to do a video. And I don't even tell them what my intention is at that time, because I don't want them to start thinking about, is that good enough? Is it? We just kind of use it as a tool and a device for them to, you know, the video reflects back to them. They get a chance to see how they're speaking it and doing it. And that's the first. Then we move into the revelation, into a lesson, which is a more structured way of how we get people to post. And we do this right up front, you know, in the first couple of weeks as we're working with people, because when you take in their idea and they formulate it and then they speak it, and now they're out on LinkedIn in 2 weeks, you know, just posting it and getting some reaction to it. So they get some feedback on the idea and they're in it.
One of the advantages that we have with posting on social media and LinkedIn, for example, is that if we don't like our post, we can take it down.
Yeah, and you know what? A lot of these are feed fizzes anyway, you know, and the algorithms, which you have to learn how to play with the algorithm, is, you know, if you don't start getting comments in the first hour or two, they're not pushing you out. So you're only getting out to about 10% of your own connections, unless you learn how to stimulate the algorithm through comments. So I have everybody create a big mouth list where they have like, you know, 20, 30 people in their pocket, they can go out into their messages and say, look, I just posted this thing. Love to hear your feedback things. Would you mind helping me out and just tell me what you think, or if you resonate with it or comment on it, just to get to stimulate the algorithm.
Now, one of the benefits of video is that we get to see and hear the person. And we get to decide if we like them.
That's true. And there's no better way of making a decision about whether you want to work with someone than watching and hearing them on video, because you get a sense of who they are, how they present, their personality, and to see if you're kind of a match or you kind of vibe with that kind of person. So that's why the personal theater aspect of who we are is so important. We can't just be talking from our head. We have to get out of our head and into our heart, and we have to let that emotion animate our bodies. We have to express with conviction what we want to influence and what we're talking about, so it's important to you, so it's important to them. And then along, once you understand how to disseminate information in a way that they can have a small little takeaway from that video, that's the whole game here. That's the whole game here. So training people to do this is what I love to do. I love that aspect of the portion of, you know, of the process that we put people through, because once they start to experience themselves and it's coming out almost, you know, like I try to get them to a place where they're not memorizing anything. I just want them to speak about from their experience and how to organize their thoughts so they can teach it.
Jamie, you used the term personal fear. So are you suggesting...
Personal theater.
Oh, theater. Yeah, personal theater. Got it.
Personal,
got it.
Your own theater. Everyone has their own theater. You know, that it's the way we are. Like, you know, when we get passionate in a conversation, I said, do you remember the last time you were speaking to someone and you got angry at someone? Well, you know, you're intending to communicate something that's important to you. And usually it has a little fervor to it. It has an emotion propelling it. Or you're walking down the street and this incredible flower you never saw before, but that you were smelling it before you even saw it. It just took your breath away. Well, how is that going to come out? It's going to inspire people. God, I saw this incredible flower. And I got the closer I got, the smell. Oh, my God. The smell was just extraordinary. I'm just giving little examples here. You know, as a speaker, it becomes a completely different experience for someone when you actually experience the experience. And to experience the experience, one must experience the experience.
And as circular as that sounds, I see the wisdom in that. I can't help but remind you.
Excuse me, I'm just curious, as a speaker, have you experienced these kind of things on stage going through your process as a speaker, as you evolved, for things that really worked and techniques, was emotional, putting the emotion to propel what you, did you find that a good tool? Were you conscious of doing? I'm just curious.
And you're right. When I started speaking, I was trying too hard to be serious because I wanted to be taken seriously, and I was dry and uninteresting. And as soon as I allowed myself to release and display emotion, whether it's joy, embarrassment, curiosity, I felt better, and the audience had a better experience.
Great. That's great. And vulnerability. When you can be vulnerable, I find, and share things about your life and what and how you experience and how you created that little transformation for you, and that I really want to share this with you, it makes you a real person. I find that that's very important. And to expose parts of yourself so they can nod their head and say, well, he's like me, he understands, he's experienced it, and I'm going through the same thing.
I pointed out, one of the lessons that I point out to people is the danger of assumption. When we assume, we often our communication doesn't go well. And I gave the example of the first time I went to lunch with a new boss, and he ordered steak, and I like steak. I thought a strange thing for lunch, but I usually like it medium well. It was my introduction to steak tartare.
An assumption.
Yeah, it wasn't what I expected. I didn't enjoy that lunch, and I don't think, and my boss knew it.
Wow, that's funny. I love that story.
Jamie, if people want to find out more about how you can help, I believe you offer a 30-minute consultation, no charge, no sales pitch, just a consultation. How do they take advantage of that?
Well, we have a link that we're going to put at the bottom of the podcast in the description. It's a free business development evaluation of whether you're emerging or whether you want to scale your business. We just take a bird's eye view, a 360 view of where you are here. And then I'm going to help you with some strategies and put together a little roadmap to see if we can get some clarity around the next step on how to scale where you want to go next. And also, for everybody on the podcast, we're going to give away a free little mini ebook that talks about our whole signature system platform, from which they can then start putting in their divine downloads, putting in their pop-out themes, and take their first shot at it. And then they can also bring that to the call, and we can start the process right on that call of codifying and organizing their uniqueness right on there in a very process-dependent way to see what methodology can arise from this so they can use that to design their offers, and their price ladder. From that, you know, they'll get their essential lead generators, like their webinar, seminar, and keynotes, and all those modules that we create, which there's about 22 of them in the signature platform, is their get video visible social selling marketing plan. And that's how they're going to become the inspirational face for their business.
Jamie, before we wrap up, if you could offer to those entrepreneurs out there who are striving to grow their business, to scale it, if you could offer them guidance to tap into their divine downloads, what advice or questions would you suggest that they think about? Might there be one, two, or three ideas there?
Know that you are an original design of the universe. There are no two human beings on this planet alike, which I find fascinating because there are billions and billions of people on this planet, but there is none of us are alike. We don't have the same face. We don't think the same. Every one of our perspectives are completely different. I don't care if you're in the most crowded industry. You have a unique perspective on how you do that part of what you do. And just know that it's unique and different. And have the wherewithal and the confidence to say, I'm just going to take some time and understand how I think about that and go through the process of showing up for yourself and start writing it down. Just do your own little exploration. Don't worry about where it's going to end up. Just get into the process of exploring what do I really want to do on this planet? And how do I want to do it? And who do I want to do it with? And, you know, a lot of times, George, we fall, you know, as we're growing up, we go through school, there are our parents' expectations, our teachers' expectations, society's expectation. We never really take the time to figure out how we want to be on this planet. So I'm just asking everybody to take a moment and just, you know, think about how you want to be here. Explore your original design, you know. And there is a process to become an expert on who you are.
Powerful advice. My guest today is Jamie Greenberg, reminding you to capitalize on your uniqueness.
If you like what you heard, remember to like, comment, and share this podcast. Come back every week for more practical insights to help you deliver your intended message. I'm your host, George Torok.